The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Hey guys, today's show is brought to you by Heshy Socks, my favorite socks on the planet, and they have a brand new line of athletic socks, the perfect white sock. New styles, but the same amazing feel. For those of you guys who are new to the podcast, you might wonder why I love Heshy Socks so much. Well, if you're tired of your feet hurting after a long day in dress shoes, go to HeshySocks.com. They'll solve that problem for you. Most fashion and dress socks are expensive, they're poorly constructed, and they provide zero protection. Not Heshy Socks. Heshy Socks are cushioned in the heel, foot, and toe. They have arch support in the center so your feet don't slosh around in your shoes. They're made with breathable Pima cotton, and they're antimicrobial to kill the stink. But best of all, they're designed to stay up so you don't have to tug up at your socks all day long. That is the worst. Anyway, go to HeshySocks.com, HeshySocks.com. Use the promo code PROBLEM30 and you'll get 30% off your entire order. Fashion, basic ankle socks, now athletic socks as well. HeshySocks.com, the best thing to ever happen to you. All right, let's start the show.
We need to roll back the state. We spy on all of our own citizens.
Our prisons are flooded with nonviolent drug offenders.
If you want to know who America's next enemy is, look at who we're funding right now.
Every single one of these problems are a result of government being way too big.
You're listening to Part of the Problem on the Gas Digital Network. Here's your host, Dave Smith.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to a brand new episode of Part of the Problem. I am, of course, the most consistent motherfucker you know, Dave Smith. He is the king of the caulks, Robbie the Fire Bernstein. We are less than a week away from a presidential election, the biggest election of our lifetime. There you go. Rob, how you doing, brother?
Pretty good. I'm starting to stock up on Domino's now just in case there's like a pizza shutdown, people are rioting. I just want to make sure I have, like, I'm not going to get cash or currency. I'm going for what's sustainable and easily traded, which is, you know, pies and Domino's.
I have it on good authority that the dollar will be out within 2 years and Domino's slices, old hard Domino's slices, will be the currency. Rob's going to be the richest man in the world in a few years just based off Domino's. No, listen, it's smart. You'd be stupid not to stock up on Domino's right now. A lot of people in the libertarian space, it's all like precious metals and crypto and stuff. But Robbie the Fire will tell you. Domino's is the way to go. Just a ton of it. And Domino's, I have a feeling Domino's pizza never gets bad. Like I have a feeling even bacteria and animals don't want.
Yeah, you don't even need to refrigerate it. You can just leave it out. It's fine.
It's better. A refrigerator will only hurt it. All right. So a few stories that I want to talk about today. I guess let's start with election talk. So there's been some drips from the Hunter Biden laptop. I guess at this point we're beyond asking whether the laptop is real or not or any of that. I think pretty much everyone has conceded that what was obvious last week already, that this is real. There's now audio recordings that are of Hunter Biden. There's supposedly going to be more stuff leaked today. We'll see what happens. I do think that this strategy of, you know, very slowly dripping this stuff out does not seem to be a good one. Tens of millions of people have already voted. It's getting to a point where it's way too late. But a tape came out yesterday, or perhaps the day before yesterday. I think it was early yesterday. It came out which definitely, I mean, seems like indicates some corruption and some collaboration with Joe Biden. So let's jump right into that. Let's play the audio recording of Hunter Biden that was released yesterday.
I get calls from my father to tell me that the New York Times is calling, but my old partner, Eric, who literally has done me harm for I don't know how long, is the one taking the calls because my father will not stop sending the calls to Eric. I have another New York Times reporter calling about my representation of the, literally, Dr. Patrick Ko, the fucking spy chief of China, who started the company that my partner, who was worth $323 billion, founded, and is now missing. The richest man in the world is missing, who was my partner. He was missing since I last saw him in his $58 million apartment and signed a $4 billion deal to build the fucking largest fucking LNG port in the world. And I am receiving calls from the Southern District of New York, from the U.S. attorney himself. My best friend in business, Devin, has named me as a witness without telling me in a criminal case, and my father without telling me.
All right. So that's it right there. It certainly does seem to give a little bit of a glimpse into, you know, what Hunter Biden is like and what these types of business deals that he's got himself in are like. And it's pretty disturbing. Talking about fielding calls from his father sending people to others, that he's in business with the spy chief in China. The guy who he's referring to, it's debated whether he's actually the top spy chief, but he's a very powerful
spy
guy.
Chief?
You know, like the guy who's running like, you know, like a CIA high level guy. But he's like a high level spy in China. The fact that he's talking about a guy who's worth money that I don't even know who the fuck he's referring to there. But it certainly gives a little bit of a glimpse into the window of what this shit is like. And I think for a lot of people, even myself included, we always kind of knew politicians' kids and families were involved in shady shit, but this does sound pretty goddamn weird. I don't know. Any thoughts you had on the tape?
First, it's funny that he kind of sounds like Joe Biden, but if Joe Biden was like doing an impression of Roger Rabbit, it's like a little bit of a mix of those two. Also, I don't know how I missed this news story. I didn't see that this leak came out. So I guess they've done a good job on the Google News algorithm or keeping it out of the journal or any of the play. I did not come across this. The way he's throwing around money does sound evil. Like just that you can tell that this guy really cares about money by the way he's describing these other people as being important because of their assets. It's clear that his psychology is very money driven. But then also, like you said, it sounds like there's something really evil going on here, that he's taking pride in the fact that he's dealing with the head of China's spy division, who's worth all this money and trying to get into these deals. So I think it's pretty obvious that he's channeling to us that, you know, these are like the oligarchy plays. This is how you got your random people in Russia who are super rich. Like it does kind of sound like that's what he's describing here.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting because, you know, I've seen a lot of like great libertarian thinkers who have written quite a bit about cronyism, you know, and that's more or less, you know, a big part of the economy that we live in. It's a crony corporatist system where there's lots of, you know, collusion and partnerships between private companies and the government. But I don't know that I've ever really seen too many dive into, you know, partnerships between private companies and foreign governments, which is every bit as creepy. And in the case of China, perhaps substantially more creepy. And that's something to kind of wrap your head around if you're a libertarian, that the idea that the Chinese government can partner up with, you know, influential Americans, in this case, the son of a vice president, that's a real troubling matter, because it makes you realize that even if we were to get, through some miracle, get our own government in check, you know, like if we were to drastically slash the size of our government, you'd still have the issue of the Chinese Communist Party, you know, a one-party government, undemocratic, for whatever that means to me and you. But, you know, a government who is, you know, censors the information that their own people can see, and not in the soft way that our government does, in a much more aggressive, hard manner, rounds people up, has people in concentration camps, you know, like a bad group. Not to, again, give a pass to our government, which certainly, if you look at their treatment of the people in Yemen or Iraq or Afghanistan or, you know, Syria or Libya or anything like that, is pretty brutal as well. But the Chinese are more comfortable being brutal to their own people. And the idea of them doing business with our politicians, or politicians' families, or perhaps with Joe Biden himself, is pretty goddamn creepy. And that's the... I don't know what can be done about that, but
you can't make you can't make the natural resource grabs here like you can in other places. So we're in Afghanistan through the government. You could be, you know, the one person who's allowed to mine the copper, which is like a free handout. Or in China, you might be the one person who can own the energy thing. You can't really do those plays here. So it makes sense that our politicians are kind of making their big dollars by working with these foreign governments. But then what becomes really interesting is, so what kind of policy is changing over here to allow that, where they want to broker with these people? So like we had pointed out, it could be on the trade deal that when these guys are putting these things together, they're making sure the critical industries over there are getting whatever handout, that we could be talking about trillions of dollars worth of value, so that having to pay out a guy like Hunter Biden on the back end, 50 million is literally nothing. Or it could just be that we're kind of complicit now and we're not really opposing some of their human rights stuff. And just that alone, in terms of them being able to retain their power and kind of be able to, I guess, keep a grip on their own propaganda systems. They don't really want the US government like speaking out. I mean, to this day, I don't know much about the Uyghur concentration camps. Like, how is that not, you know what I mean? It's like, we know that it's going on. It's not something like really we discuss.
If you're a white dude who's into hip hop, they round you up. What else? What else do you need to know?
Those are the worst kinds of people. At least I get why you would.
No, you understand why they were targeted. No question. I mean, they're horrible. But, you know, some of them are good. They still have their rights.
Those are my friends. They got good shit. So, you know, yeah. I'm pro-Uyghur. Just I'd like to find out what's actually going on over there.
I don't know. You want to hang out with someone who's got super clean sneakers, who's not going to rob you. That's pretty much the group of people you got to go after. They're the only ones in town. All right, guys, let's take a quick second. I want to let you know about a new podcast that I came across that I really think you guys would love. It's called A Neighbor's Choice, and it's hosted by David Gernowski. David's show has been described as an apocalyptic Mr. Rogers for adults. David doesn't tell you what to think. He tells you how to think. David exposes politics by tracing its roots back to mythology and ritual. Every show provides the missing link between today's fake news and ancient myths. David's show is like a secret weapon in your back pocket that makes sense of the daily gaslighting of the corporate press in the name of its victims. David highlights how politics is just scapegoating. Through his own observations and his guests, like Liberty Movement favorites Ron Paul, Detective John Beza, Peter Schiff, Jeff Dice, and many other great guests. But he also does deep dives with cultural figures like Jordan Peterson and Scott Adams. David dismantles fake news and offers a future that unleashes technology for the betterment of the human population. David also regularly features call-in interviews with prisoners serving life sentences for nonviolent crimes, shedding light into life inside. Plus, each week you'll hear solutions from scientists on the front line of market innovations in nuclear fission and researching challenging status quo medicine. From newsmakers to innovators, David brings his neighbors on a mind-blowing journey. I love this show. I think you guys will really dig it too. A Neighbor's Choice with David Gernowski. It's on Apple Podcasts, or you can check out his website, aneighborschoice.com. For YouTubers, go subscribe to his YouTube channel, youtube.com/David Gernowski. All right, let's get back into the show. So if these governments are are willing to pay. I mean, look, I think it's pretty clear. And even Hunter Biden admitted this, right? Like over a year ago when he was interviewed, and they said he was asked straight up, you know, if your last name wasn't Biden, do you think you'd be on any of these boards? And he goes, probably not. You know, like even he had to admit, yes, obviously, this is why I'm here. Like some Ukrainian energy company, Burisma, is not just, you know, putting Hunter Biden on their board and paying him some, you know, huge salary because he's Hunter Biden, other than his last name being Biden. I mean, it's not like they're just like, oh, we need a crackhead with no experience in the energy sector. Like, obviously, but this is they're buying access to his father. But the deeper question there is like, why is that they would not be doing this unless in their estimation, this was worth it. And this is a small price to pay for getting access to Joe Biden. So then it's like, okay, so what does that get you? What is it about access to Joe Biden that's worth this money? You'd have to think it's got to be something worth a lot more. And that's really the, you know, the $1 million question.
Just to play devil's advocate, I think there's an element of celebrity status. And what I mean by that is, imagine if I was an insurance broker and I made Michael Jordan my partner.
Sure.
So Michael Jordan is going to be able to get people on phone calls that I never will be able to get on phone calls. Like I might be able to get Lloyd Blankfein's business tomorrow because Michael Jordan makes that phone call. Is Michael Jordan getting anyone better insurance than any other insurance broker? Sure. No, it's just, oh, that's pretty cool. It's Michael Jordan. I'll talk to him. And then it's foot in the door. So there is an element when it comes to these people where, since there's just like, if you're selling the illusion of power or the illusion of introductions, the illusion of being able to book Joe Biden and just basically it's foot in the door, then you've done good marketing for yourself. You haven't done anything wrong. Now, I don't think that's the case here. That's clearly not the case here because he took it too far. But the idea that some of these senators' kids just have jobs off the names, but there actually isn't like the power brokering going on, or that it's just implied, but it never comes to be. You know, like I've had those kind of, I'm trying to think what's a personal relationship I've had in that regard, but sometimes that happens. You do work at a comedy club because you think you're going to get paid down the line. You never get paid down the line, but you thought it was going to happen. So, you know what sure. I mean?
No, that's actually a very fair point, and it is a possibility. And there would be one more level than just kind of what you're saying, right? So there is, and by the way, this does happen in business all the time where people will have some, you know, celebrity attached to like a car dealership because he's a local, you know, celebrity there. And people go like, oh, well, you know, they're more likely to go there, or you kind of seem like a bigger deal than you are. And so it's not that they add tangible value or direct tangible value. It's that their name is kind of worth something. I'd also think, just going one step further than that, that there might be an illusion of political connectedness that would be helpful. So for example, right, if you were like in some type of field that was highly regulated in the United States of America, let's say, and you were perhaps investors or customers were concerned about you being regulated out of business. Well, the idea that you'd be like, well, look, wink, wink, nod, nod, we got a senator's kid who's involved in this business might encourage people to believe that, oh, probably they're politically connected and they're not going to have, you know, regulations that'll crush them come down. Even if it's not true, it might still alleviate concerns of investors or customers. So there are possibilities. However, being a Ukrainian energy company, the idea that it was like just a, you know, a cool factor to have Joe Biden's kid working there seems somewhat less likely than they thought that it was good for them to be involved with the United States government. Particularly when you look at a country like Ukraine, where U.S. foreign policy has had a very big influence on that country, you know, like profoundly important influence. And of course, with China, I mean, look, if you had a kid like Hunter Biden, if you had something like, just hypothetically saying, if they have these laptops, if there's damaging information about him, that's something that the Chinese government would love to have their hands on. Right. You have all of this stuff on Hunter Biden where you're like, look, we can ruin you, Joe Biden, or we can make your kid a millionaire. And then the implication would be like, just kind of, you know, make the deals that we want. The trade deals, however you feel, whether you're a free trade guy or a protectionist or anywhere in between, the trade deals between the United States and China affect trillions of dollars worth of business. And so it would probably, people would be incentivized to want to get some type of control over that.
Also, I think if you look at like the beginning of the Mueller investigation, they created enough noise around it that even Trump was like, all right, go do your investigation. You'll see that nothing comes out of it. It's a little bit weird to me if you start looking at, I guess, some of the foreign security issues of our politicians being in bed with countries such as China or Ukraine, that outside of the screaming fight, which is the fight right now is more or less, should tech companies have been allowed to censor the New York Post story? There's really not a lot of conversation about whether or not this information is true and what some of the security concerns would be amongst, like, no one's really painted the picture of, well, what exactly does Biden being in bed to China or specific individuals in China actually mean? No one's really doing this critical analysis. So I'm surprised by that. And I'm also surprised that I guess the FBI or somebody else isn't doing something to at least come back to the voters and go, hey, we've done the investigation. It just kind of looks like, in terms of the actual core thing that we're trying to look at here, maybe Jim Jordan and some of those other guys are taking a look. But even Ted Cruz was saying, I don't think this helps anybody by looking at families, which sounded fucking shady. That sounded like there's something going on with his family dealings. He doesn't want people looking at family dealings. But possibly, just to bring it full circle, I don't get why there isn't more of a look into like the actual story here.
Yeah. And by the way, just going off memory on this, I could be wrong, but I think Ted Cruz's wife works for Goldman Sachs or something like that. So yeah, maybe he doesn't want people looking into it. He's like, hey, chill out with all this family stuff. There's no question about that. I mean, one of the other points that Ted Cruz made politically, and I got to say, I'm starting to think he might be right about this, is that he's like, I don't think this is going to move any votes. And this tape is interesting, and it is kind of revealing, and it's an interesting conversation that me and you are having. But if we just move back to the political aspect of this, I don't think this is making a big difference in terms of votes. I think that one of the problems is that this really is, you know, so let me say this. One of the things that I was wrong about this year that was kind of eye-opening for me, which I don't know if you remember us talking about back at the beginning of the year before all the COVID insanity, was that, you know, I thought Bernie Sanders was on a path to run away with the nomination. And Joe Biden really was able to take it right back on Super Tuesday. And one of the things that I realized was that, I underestimated how much influence the corporate press still had over Democratic voters. And that even though their influence is waning, it's not the same as with Republican voters, where they are just outright hostile to the corporate press. I mean, it was like there was a foundation of resenting the corporate press amongst Republican voters that went much deeper than amongst Democrat voters. Even like back in like the 80s and 90s, they were calling it the liberal media. So they always thought the media was against them. And now it's straight up like, it's not even the liberal media anymore. It's like the enemy of the people, you know, like they hate the media. So the media coming out and saying, absolutely, Donald Trump is unacceptable, just gave him more power amongst Republican voters. Like they were like, oh, the whole media hates him? Excellent. I might have been on the fence and that pushed me over toward Trump. With the Democrats, when the entire media came out and said Bernie Sanders is unacceptable, there were enough people who were like, okay. I mean, if they all think he's this unacceptable, maybe he is. Maybe he is unacceptable. Maybe there's something there. And it makes you realize that if we're talking about Democratic voters and maybe even independent voters to some degree, their control of information has not been completely destroyed as much as people like me or you might think it is. And it's tough. It's one of the things that's tough about analyzing any of this shit in the year 2020 is that we're all so divided up into our own worlds that it is hard to get a sense of everybody else. You know, sometimes I'll be like, dude, everyone I see on my Twitter feed is this way or feeling this way. But it's like, yeah, but I'm I follow a certain type of person, and you know, the algorithm is showing you kind of your world. It's not, you're not necessarily, so you have to work hard to get a sense of where everybody's at. And the truth is, with this story, the people who are seeing it are the ones who read the New York Post, listen or watch Fox News, are following right-wing reporters on Twitter. This is not, these are Trump voters. You know what I mean? These are not the other side. And for the most part, the other side is probably like, well, I don't know. I've heard this is all Russian disinformation. I've heard this has all been debunked, or I've never heard of it at all. And so I don't think this is like, this just doesn't seem to me to be a big needle mover in terms of the election. Again, we got a few days left. I could be wrong. Something huge could come out. Maybe the pedo shit will come out. Who the fuck knows? But as of right now, I'm not seeing anything that's a game changer. Again, that could change at any time. The other thing politically that I thought was kind of interesting, another aspect of this story that's been very underreported and not discussed enough. So there were reports that came out today that Donald Trump is planning on firing the FBI director, Wray, if he gets reelected. And who knows if that's actually true. Hey, what? Firing an FBI director, how could that ever come back to hurt you? So this is...
Will he take sad pictures of himself along the countryside?
Yeah, right, exactly. Write a book, go on a speaking tour, whatever he's going to do. But... You know, when I was recording the State of the Union with Ari, I remember one of the first things I said was, you know, how crazy the year 2020 is, because Ari just wanted to talk about, you know, the state of the year, the whole year of 2020. And I go, you know what a crazy year this is that for the third time in American history, a president was impeached this year. And I bet that's not even on your list of things to talk about.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, my God, I forgot that was this year. You know, like it was just not even... But, you know, so the fact under normal circumstances, the fact that the president who's going up for re-election was impeached, one of the three presidents to ever be impeached, that would be a thing that hasn't come up once by in any of the debates. Not a big like it's just really not being talked about. Again, also the Russian collusion thing. It's really almost hard to imagine that after 3 years, like, can you imagine if a year and a half ago I had told you that Trump's re-election campaign, Russian collusion isn't really mentioned? They'd be like, what? They've been obsessed with this for so long. Anyway, the claims here are, and we don't know for certain that this is true, but there's reason to suspect it's likely true. The claims here are that the FBI was sent this laptop a year ago. Now, if they did get this laptop a year ago, what the fuck? You know?
Well, I mean, you got a lot to jerk off to first. That's going to, you know, at least 2 months.
We've got our best men on it. but, you know, it's now the FBI was asked about this. They refused to comment. They wouldn't comment on whether there's an investigation, whether they have the computer or any of that shit. But if they are sitting on this, and this is Donald Trump's Department of Justice, and Donald Trump's being impeached over asking Ukraine to look into Joe Biden, you would think this could have been useful information for Trump's defense. Now, Donald Trump got off anyway, and they really had nothing, and maybe his defense didn't really need that much more help. But the fact that there's these reports that Donald Trump is really not happy with the director of the FBI kind of indicates to me that perhaps they're burying this story. And that gets into a whole nother, you know, element of how this whole corrupt system works. Of course, we know that the Epstein investigation was that Epstein, when he was found guilty of soliciting underage girls, that he, you know, was basically given a sweetheart deal because intelligence intervened. So the idea that they would bury this story is certainly not beyond the pale. And it shows something, an interesting dynamic one more time of the intelligence communities, or in this case, the FBI, not exactly working with the president of the United States, and quite possibly blatantly working against him. So that'll be an interesting thing to see what happens if Trump gets reelected, see how long this guy Ray lasts. All right, guys, let's take a quick second. I want to thank our sponsor for today's show, which is UBDI. If you've seen The Social Dilemma, you know big tech companies use your data to your detriment by manipulating what you see, controlling where your data goes, and leaving you devoid of data property rights. While you can't stop YouTube from censoring Ron Paul, you can take your data and attention away from platforms like Facebook, Twitter, Reddit, and Google to compete in the market for the value present in your data. UBDI was built by a fan of this show to solve this social problem by allowing members to talk, learn, and earn with their data across apps like Spotify, Robinhood, Amazon, LinkedIn, Steam, and dozens more, all in one anonymous social network. UBDI helps you understand and visualize the data these companies store on you as you build a digital asset library only you own and control. With UBDI, you can enter into verified bot-free tribes of people, like joining a fitness community by linking your Fitbit, Apple Health, or Google Fit. Inside these verified groups, you might be sharing your hottest Robinhood trades with other, you know, like-minded people. You might be streaming the history of the shows you're binging on Netflix. If you're more into crypto, you can even view what cryptocurrencies other members are trading on exchanges like Binance or Coinbase or Gemini and ask what they know and what they're thinking. The best part of UBDI is you'll make 70% of the profit with any data you consent to share with companies. And you can cash out in precious metals like gold, dozens of cryptocurrencies, and soon even stocks. So you don't have to hold on to any government currency if you don't want to. Head to UBDI.com or download UBDI on the Apple Store or Google. Join the anonymous social network where you can talk, learn, and earn with your data. Head to UBDI.com or download UBDI at the Apple Store or with Google Play. All right, let's get back into the show. Let's switch gears because there's a couple other things that I wanted to talk about. Sorry, do you have something?
No, just on that note, and I know I've mentioned this before on the show, and correct me if I'm wrong, people. You're good on the YouTube comments. I believe with the Epstein thing, the FBI was not looking into that until they lost a Freedom of Information Act. And once that story became public that they had basically washed away the story, they immediately had to flip and go, no, we're doing a full investigation. They had to get working on it. If that turns out to be the exact same thing here, where you might have elements, well, I still don't believe the pedophile thing until I see it. Well, not see it, like I said, until it becomes verified. But
you got to really choose your words more carefully on this stuff, Rob.
Until the FBI personally comes over here and presents the evidence for me to sift through and take my time with and really understand, I will not get on air and say that that's true. No, but we need to see. Like, okay, I guess it becomes absurd to say, hey, we need to investigate the FBI. We need to investigate the investigators. Like, that just becomes ongoing and crazy. That's why it refocused to the fact that these agencies just shouldn't exist. But what else are they just sitting on? Like, how are you sitting on serious cases of corruption, perhaps child trafficking, without any investigation and just kind of going, oh, well, here's the evidence. Let's go put this away in a room so no one else sees it. Like, where's all those fucking pictures they took out of Epstein's safe? There hasn't been a word on that since that happened. They went into his house. They made sure to secure the safe. Nothing.
And the fact that there hasn't been any demand from the press to get to the bottom of this. I mean, that really tells you everything you need to know right there. That there's not this demand where it's like, okay, well, we've got this his partner in custody now. Let's get to the bottom of it. Like, we want to know. Clearly, very powerful people were involved in this. So we need details here. And there's like no appetite.
Yeah, if we had a good journal, that would be the CNN on repeat is what, like, how come the FBI is not answering? Did they have this laptop? Are they investigating this laptop? How come we didn't hear about it earlier? Yeah.
And you have to imagine if you had something like CNN or the New York Times or Fox News, or for that matter, any of them, it wouldn't be too hard to really push the public opinion to a place where they were like, yeah, we demand to see that. And they would give the FBI almost no choice. And this is a point that Michael Malice makes a lot, that it is actually debatable who is really worse, the state or the corporate press. Because it's easy to see in a lot of these in a lot of these situations where there's no way the state could get away with what it does if it wasn't for the corporate press. And this is why they have to, you know, devise this whole system where they have the press in their pocket, essentially. This is also why they have the state has to run the educational system and, you know, really brainwash kids. Because without all of that, there's no way this level of corruption would be sustainable. Now, you couldn't get away with this shit if you had anyone, you know, if you had teachers and journalists pushing people in the direction of like, hey, you should really be concerned about this. It really wouldn't take much. Just explain the story to them and people would be demanding answers. And then the Justice Department would have to go, oh, all right, we're looking into it, you know. So there's a lot there. Something else that I just wanted to make sure we talk about on today's show is that I just saw, I had heard a little bit about this, but I actually just saw the list of rules that the governor Newsom in California has put out for Thanksgiving celebrations. Did you see this, Rob?
Yeah, apparently if you're transgendered, you can celebrate it with yourself. So it's like two people there. So that's nice. Whole
as
family.
Many as you want.
I don't know if that makes sense.
It doesn't, but it's okay. I was going to roll with it, try to tag it up a little bit, see if we could find something. I don't know. It's what we do, Rob. Not everything's going to be a hit. It's a goddamn news podcast. What do you expect? Okay. So this is bonkers, and it's the type of thing that if like a libertarian show like ours was telling you, it would sound like some ridiculous conspiracy made up by libertarians. Like the government would never actually try to do this. But these are Governor Newsom's rules for Thanksgiving. I got 13 rules here. All right, let's see. You tell me.
For the 13 original colonies.
Yes, exactly. One for each. Okay. Now you tell me how many of these are reasonable. Okay. Rule number one, no more than three households, including your own. If you have three married kids, only two of them are allowed to come. It's no big deal. Just the government telling you got to pick your favorite children who you can have Thanksgiving with. Okay. Totally reasonable so far. Number two, make a list of all attendees and their contact information in case the government wants it. Mm. Yeah, that okay. Now we're getting into the realm of outrageously creepy, and we're only up to rule number two, so that's a little disturbing. Rule number three, may not be indoors. So there you go. Just gotta enjoy a nice meal outside. Number four, your guests may go inside briefly to use the bathroom as long as you sanitize it frequently. So it's really cool of you, Governor Newsom, to allow grandma to go piss if she has to.
Can I shit out front with the homeless people? I mean, if I don't want to go in the house, can I just go on the street and join those guys?
Well, don't worry. Due to Gavin Newsom's policies, there will be homeless people all around you while you're outside. You're basically having dinner with the homeless people. rule number five, any shade structure must be open on at least three sides. So doesn't seem like it's going to do much to block the sun if it's open on three sides. So you can't even be in the shade.
It's like a sucker.
Yeah, sit right there in the fucking sun with your you know, grandparents. All right. Rule number six. Any chairs, your chairs must be at least 6 feet apart. Rule number seven. You must provide a hand washing or sanitizing station for your guests. Rule number eight. You should only use single serving food. No turkey or bowls of mashed potato or cranberry salad. So, you know, you can still enjoy Thanksgiving. You just can't have your family there. You can't be close to them. And no turkey or mashed potatoes. But it's still a total, you know, still Thanksgiving. All right. Rule number nine. If you must serve out of one dish, your guests may not help themselves. Really, really getting into the details there, Governor Newsom. Pretty particular regulation.
I'd love to see people like just ratting out their uncle on social media. like this guy took, you know, just taking the picture. This guy took an extra serving.
He took
attention, governor. We had him over as a guest in our home, and he took extra mashed potatoes straight from the dish. Please arrest my uncle.
They're just turning people, like they're just begging people to be the fucking lamest kid in your third grade. governor, Uncle Gary went in for seconds, and he didn't wash. All right. Rule number 10. The designated person who is allowed to serve you must wash or sanitize their hands frequently and wear a face covering. Rule 11. Everyone must wear a face covering at all times, except briefly while you eat, but you must sit 6 feet apart while you eat, and if you need to use an inhaler or for other urgent medical needs. Again, super cool of Governor Newsom. He felt it had to be put into his rules that if you're having an asthma attack and you need your inhaler, we will allow it. As if you were just going to sit there and die, unless he had made that clear. They were like, oh, thank you so much. You're being so cool to let little Timmy use his inhaler. Rule number 12, keep the gathering to 2 hours or less. Well, Governor Newsom, with all of these rules, I doubt anyone's going to want to do this for any more than 2 hours. But there's one more rule.
Also, at that point, what does it matter? That's also just,
Rule 13, you should not sing or chant.
Well, that's physical, gay anyways. You shouldn't be doing that at a meal.
Physical exertion is warned against. Now, I'll tell you. I've said this a few times over the course of this year, but if you are a libertarian, or forget even if you identify as a libertarian, if you even vaguely claim to somewhat support the loose idea of freedom and are somewhat skeptical of government authority, and you're not against this shit, then you're useless. This is like the ultimate libertarian litmus test. If you're watching the government attempt to regulate how close to your family members you can be, who can reach in for servings of the mashed potatoes, and whether your grandmother is allowed or not to use your bathroom, and under what circumstances she's allowed to do that, if you don't speak out against this, you are useless to the world of libertarianism. Tell me where you think I'm wrong, but if you're a libertarian, if you believe in freedom at all, this is your battle. It's right here in front of you. The government trying to regulate who can come over for Thanksgiving. This is not like, make no mistake about it. This is not about controlling the spread of a contagious virus. That is not what this is about. This has now gone to a level of trying to see how much intimate control of your life governments can exercise authority over. This is very, very creepy. Like, you know, so for so long, libertarians, we've talked about all types of different, you know, issues with government intervention, you know, whether government intervening in the economy, in people's personal lives, and all types of different ways. And we make really strong arguments, I think, for the dangers of this type of government intervention. And sometimes, you know, there'll be something like governments talking about rounding up guns, and libertarians will say, well, you know, the old Alex Jones line, Hitler took the guns, Mao took the guns, Stalin took the guns, right? And there's a really fair point to all of that. But other people could say, well, you know, Australia rounded up their guns, or some other country, or England or whatever. And, you know, okay, there's problems in that society, but it's not, you know, Mao Zedong's China or Adolf Hitler's Germany or something like that, you know? And there's a fair point to that too. That doesn't mean you have to be for it, but it's not, you know, my point is, what society allows the government this type of authority over personal family interactions and does not end up in disaster? You tell me. And this is why, again, like I said before, this should have been the entire campaign of the Libertarian Party. This should have been, if you were to ask, What is the focus and the central issue of the Libertarian Party's presidential campaign? There should be, if you asked 100 people, all 100 of them who are aware of it should tell you the same thing. It's this, and it's that they're against this. They're against the lockdowns. They're against the unconstitutional overreach of the state governments and all the craziness in the name of preventing a virus or controlling a virus or whatever. And I don't think most people, even most LP members, would tell you that. So that's a real problem. But man, I mean, this is like, we make jokes about it and shit, but this is some creepy fucking shit. And this is the type of thing that requires civil disobedience. What we need here, what California needs, even California, the bluest of blue states, they need people to just have fucking Thanksgiving, have a normal Thanksgiving. Don't listen to any of this shit. And to be honest, I have a feeling many, many people will. I don't know if they'll be loud about it, but I just don't buy it. I think that most, like, even kind of liberal people or left-leaning people in general, they may like the kind of gestures of telling people they're left and all this stuff. But now you're asking about like a really kind of personal sacrifice. That you can't have a Thanksgiving dinner. You can't just be a normal person in the most like unnormal year. You can't have one normal moment with your family. I can't believe people are actually going to do this and follow these rules. Can you imagine people actually following these rules, Rob?
Except for those one or two angry ladies that are just going to walk around taking pictures of other people at their Thanksgiving and angrily sitting at home with their cats, except for those personalities.
Yeah. And also, you know, it's like you think about Nancy Pelosi with her mask off in the salon and all this stuff. It's the people writing these rules have no intention of following them themselves.
I hope BLM gets out in protest and white people having Thanksgiving. You're not allowed to have Thanksgiving. You shouldn't be able to celebrate. And then they're being told that what they're doing is okay and doesn't spread the virus. So I hope we get protesters of Thanksgiving that Gavin or what's the Newsom's first name?
Gavin Newsom.
Oh, his name is Gavin Newsom. And I hope he says that those people are right and that, you know, you get nice people trying to eat in their backyards while people are yelling at them from the street.
I wish somebody could get like Gavin Newsom's Thanksgiving on video recording.
Oh,
like,
and it's just all of them. Oh, my God. It's for sure going to be a big ass Thanksgiving.
I'm sure he has no intention of following these.
Or he might be.
Like,
is he a mayor or a governor?
Governor.
He might be one of these hookery guys. Like, he might not really have
maybe
a family.
Give a
just
shit
hangs
about
out.
Family.
Yeah, he might maybe. Just hang out with a maybe couple hookers right. on a holiday.
You know what? You might be right about that. All right, let's take a quick second. I want to thank our sponsor for today's show, which is Infinite CBD. I'm thrilled to have them back on their show because they just sent me a bunch more of that Freezing Point topical cream, which I love. If you're working out, if you're being active, if you're getting sore muscles for any reason whatsoever, go try some of the Freezing Point topical cream. It's amazing. It's the most effective thing I've ever used. Really helped me out last year when I had that pinched nerve. It really helped my father-in-law out before he went in for knee surgery. Had real sore knees. The stuff is amazing. If you've never checked out Infinite CBD before, you have to go. They're a longtime sponsor of the show and other shows on the network as well. They make the best CBD products on the market. They do everything in-house to maintain high quality. They have the most cost-effective prices on the market. They were actually ranked number one CBD company by herb.co. Infinite CBD has a wide range of products, including gummies, lube, nano products. My personal favorite is the Freezing Point topical cream. Go to infinitecbd.com. Use the promo code POTP. You're going to get 20% off your entire order. One more time, infinitecbd.com, promo code POTP for 20% off. All right, let's get back into the show. There is something about these rules, like, and it's just true in general, where, you know, all of these politicians who, you know, they oppose school choice, but they send their kids to private schools, you know, and they oppose gun rights, but they have armed security, and they're against, you know, building a wall, but they live in a gated community. It's just so many of these type of things, but this is a different level. It's a more personal, more intimate level of sacrifice that they're asking from people to not, in a year where people have barely seen their family, to ask them not to have a Thanksgiving seems like an intentional attack on normalcy and on family and on, you know, personal freedom. You know, we're a country that doesn't, you know, not a very religious country. We have a lot of broken families, and like Thanksgiving is one of the few things in America that's not about, you know, kind of like consumerism or commercialization or any of that shit. It's just like family getting together and gorging themselves. But I think that's, it's really important, and it's so creepy. It's so creepy, the detail to which these rules, you know, how
imagine
how,
that board meeting where they're like, well, how long should they be allowed to stay at the house? And someone's like, well, I was trying to get rid of my guests within 2 hours. So why don't we make it 2 hours?
Yeah.
So I can tell you what the governor said.
Can you imagine like the debates about some of these rules, like people who were trying to go further with it? And they're kind of like, all right, well, no pissing. No using the bathroom at all. And they're like, come on. I mean, what if someone really has to pit? And they go like someone was like, no taking your mask off. Like, well, what if someone has asthma and needs an inhaler? Like, no, die. You lay down on the floor and wheeze and hope you survive it. You know, whew. It is, man, is this creepy. But in a way, I just got to think that there's like, there's no way people are actually going to follow this. Not to say no people, but there's no way in general, like most people are going to follow this shit. I don't know. It goes back to the question that I've been asking for months, which is just kind of like to normal people in this country. Like, is this what you want? Are you willing to do this? Are you willing to just live that? I mean, there's been these articles written about how even after we get a vaccine, we still can't go back to normal. And you're like, what the fuck? Like, how? I don't understand how people are even willing to contemplate accepting this. Like, oh, all right, I guess we'll just give up on life. I guess that's it. Fuck life. Well, I thought one of the best things Donald Trump said that, man, I really loved it. I don't know if you saw it. It was this week when a reporter asked him, said, how do you respond to the accusations from the Biden campaign that you're waving the white flag to the virus? You know, what waving the white flag refers to giving up, surrendering. So basically the idea that Trump's just not fighting the virus anymore. He's given up trying to fight it. And Trump responded and he said, Biden's the one waving the white flag. Biden's waving the white flag to life. He's hiding in his basement. I just thought that was such a great, like, retort, you know, like fuck that, fuck giving up on life because you're afraid of germs. This is literally just a year ago, everyone would have said, this is what a paranoid germaphobe would do. This is insane behavior. Live your life, have your family over, give them a hug. Like, I'm sorry. And if somebody in your family is at high risk or old and they don't want to come to Thanksgiving, fine. But like the rest of us need to live a normal life. Because you only get one of them. At least that's what I'm told. I don't know if that's true or not. But we only know for sure that you get one of them.
And you're not going to keep me from some stuffing?
That's right. So the other thing that I wanted to mention that we could talk about for a little bit is the rioting in Philadelphia has really gone crazy over the last two nights.
Did they win something?
Huh?
Did they win something?
No. They haven't. They haven't won, you know. I mean, Philly, you know, they don't win that much, Rob. I mean, Philly, the Eagles won a Super Bowl a couple years ago. And before that, I believe they had some type of victory in 1776. And it's been pretty much dry all in between that. I kid. I love Philly. Love a good cheesesteak. Love a good Wawa's.
It'll be here on December 5th. So come out, get some tickets.
Rob's going to be there on December 5th. Go see him. So there was a police shooting of a black guy. The details are a little bit fuzzy, but allegedly a guy was chasing cops with a knife and the cop shot him and killed him. The guy was crazy from what I've read, and the cops had been called to the house several times before. But it was a guy running at the cops with a knife. Now, whether this was a justified shooting or not, I can't say for sure, but it seems certainly possible that it was, and possible that it wasn't. Who knows? I, you know, like with all of these things, I always say it's like you have to wait for more information to come out. And in my opinion, people of all sides of the political spectrum end up looking foolish when they try to just jump to a conclusion that confirms their bias going in. And I think libertarians as well shouldn't, you know, get caught up in that stuff because it's stupid and it makes you look bad. More important than that, it's just it makes you prone to being wrong. But so now this is the response, is rioting. This has just become the new normal in this country, is that if police kill a black person, whether it's justified or not, whether the details have come out or not, whether we know what's going to happen in terms of the cops being punished or not, you riot and you loot. These have been bad. There's been something like 30 police officers who have been injured. I believe 11 people were shot. I might be off on those numbers a little bit, but it's somewhere in that ballpark. A ton of looting, a ton of property damage, and it's just awful. And of course, the corporate press is now falling back on their old tactics of referring to these as demonstrations, peaceful protests. They were actually characterized as peaceful protests by the mayor, by the governor of Pennsylvania. But of course, anybody who has an internet connection can tell you that they were not exactly peaceful. There was actually quite a bit of violence. And of course, you can just read the news on them. Like, it's not, you know, when 11 people get shot in 2 days in Philadelphia, it's like, yeah, that's not doesn't sound like a peaceful demonstration to me. And I got to say, I mean, this, even more than the Hunter Biden laptop, I think this is like a gift for Donald Trump to just remind voters right the week of election about, you know, the riots. And particularly in a state in Pennsylvania that is a really important state. So that's a gift to Donald Trump. It reminds me again, and it's just hard for me to not mention, just that, like, this is where the Libertarian Party fucked up so bad. And I'm sorry to bring, I know I brought it up with the Newsom rules, and I'll bring it up with this stuff again, but this is the reality. It's like, this was such a major fuck up. And it's that they made a conscious effort, both Joe Jorgensen and Spike Cohen, and particularly the people who run their social media, they made a conscious effort to embrace Black Lives Matter from the very beginning. And, you know, it's like so many of the libertarians, the libertarians with platforms, all the libertarians with like a sizable platform, it seems like to me. I mean, us, Tom Woods, Eric July, Michael Malice, Scott Horton, like all of the people with platforms kind of saw this coming right away. I mean, in Minneapolis, the protests were violent. Like, we kind of knew what we were dealing with here. And we were like, look, this is a very left, very identitarian movement with a lot of violence around it or in it. There's the organization, which is explicitly Marxist. This is not like, let's at the very best, keep it at arm's distance. And more reasonably, you should condemn the violence and the property destruction. That seemed right away like the libertarian response to this. And all of these dorks in the LP, they were like, no, we know better than you. Sorry. I mean, I know we've never built a platform. We haven't attracted any people to this movement, but we know better than you about this, and we're going to embrace this. This was the calculation that they made. And man, was it a disastrous one. You know, it's like the whole movement of Black Lives Matter, even if you, you know, leave aside the fucking violence of it, which you shouldn't do, but it's just, it's an incredibly, you know, it's a racial identitarian movement by the nature of it. It's Black Lives Matter. This is, you know, now if you had any type of racial identitarianism like this on the right, they'd lose their mind. They'd see through it right away. They'd see right away, like, no, that's a problem. Even if it was something against, like, even if it was an issue that libertarians agree on, if you tried to racialize it for white people, libertarians, the LP types would see through it in a second. They would see right through it. Like if you were like, I'm starting an organization to protest white people being taxed. I'm just against white people paying taxes. Right away, everyone in the LP would go, wait a minute. Why white people? Like, yeah, we're against taxation, sure. But like, why are you making your movement about white people getting taxed? Shouldn't it be about everybody who has to pay taxes? Like, look at all these black people who have to pay taxes. Look at all these people. Like, that doesn't, it's weird to just make it about your racial group. But right away, they'd see that. And if I were to try to come back with an argument, like, I'd be like, look, this is an anti-government protest. You have to be on board with them. You should be out there taking pictures with them and marching with them and all of this shit. Everyone in the LP would go, what? No, because it's fucking racist. So why would I want to be a part of that? And okay, good for them. They'd be right in that regard. However, when it's on the other side, they do everything they can to cozy up to the racial identitarian movement and start using all of these fucking woke terms, as we've, you know, discussed a million times. And the funny thing about it is that this is the real problem with the LP, and it's what we're going to have to take care of going forward, is that there really are their attitude. So many of these people in the LP, their attitude is that only fucking extreme right wingers are against the woke shit. That's they're like, oh, it's Dave's so against the woke shit, Tom's so against the woke shit. They must be these far right paleocons. That's the only reason they'd be against the woke shit. But you know what you're figuring out? It's not extreme right wingers who are against woke shit. It's normal people. Normal people are against the woke shit. The 100% of the right and probably 2/3 of the left are against wokeism. But the 2/3 of the left are a little bit more quiet about it because they're concerned. I mean, some of them are getting louder and louder. And that's why you have all of these people who have, you know, the walk away stuff. And I've left the left because they're walking away from all this woke identitarianism shit. And you lost all of them. You lost all of them. You lost basically the entire right and 2/3 of the left. And the 1/3 of the left that you have been pandering to is the worst group to pander to. So just disappointing to see. I don't know. What can, you know, libertarians, you can feel however you feel about police brutality. I'm certainly against it. And you should be too. And we have a million different problems with policing in this country, and we should really put forward our solutions. And if we're talking to people who are protesting police brutality, we should try to persuade them that our solutions are the best ones. But can you actually accept that this is just an acceptable situation now? That every time a black person is shot by a cop in this country, which is just by the numbers is going to happen as long as we have police. It perhaps could happen less if we were to have some good policy reforms or something like that. That's possible. But is this just acceptable that whenever that happens, well, there'll be riots and we just have to accept that. We just have to go make our peace with that. Yep. You know, this happened. So sorry if you owned that store there. Sorry if you were out late at night and got the shit beat out of you or you got shot or killed or whatever. Sorry. But, you know, this is got to support the protests. Is that reasonable? I don't understand, man. It's like really been in many ways the most baffling part of this year to me is just and really eye-opening about other libertarians. It's like, I mean, obviously, there's a bunch of insane shit that's happened this year. But the idea that I would just be like, OK, well, libertarians, I mean, I know I have my differences with some of you, but we could all be together that we are against the government telling you who can and when and how they can use your bathroom at Thanksgiving dinner. And we are all against a violent mob. Yeah.
Like, I don't care how much you ate. You got to shit. You're going home.
Gavin Newsom has decided we are OK with number one. No number twos.
All right? Imagine making that call to Kai. Hey, Uncle yeah. just took a giant turd in here. Hey. I got the evidence. You can smell it if you want to.
My uncle's dropping a deuce. Is that on the list? Oh, it is. Oh, okay. You're good. Hey, Uncle Jack, you're fine. But if I could count on other libertarians, I'd say, hey, you're against the government, becoming totalitarian. I don't know how else to describe these Gavin Newsom rules other than totalitarian. And you'd be against a violent mob going around destroying businesses, assaulting and murdering people, right? And not only is the answer not right, but I've actually been attacked for having those views. So it's been really eye-opening. And if we want to be serious about our principles or be viewed as serious people, we got to get on the right side of these issues. So anyway, that's that. Did you see, by the way, there's a video of I'm not going to be able to find it again. But there was a video of, I'll just explain what it is. But in Philly, there were like some Jews, I guess some Orthodox Jews, who came down to show solidarity with the Black Lives Matter movement. And they just got fucking like assaulted and chased out of there.
Nice.
And like all these black dudes just like circled them and were just like, get the fuck out of here, white boy. We don't need any of that Jew shit. And they started like quoting Bible verses that I'm pretty convinced are not actual Bible verses, but maybe they are. I don't know.
And then like, Moses said to the true Jews, the black Jews, that only like thou shall be in Israelith.
They're always like, Proverbs 4, verse 9, the synagogue is the Satan and the Jews are the devil. I'm like,
and Tupac was cool, that? Said the Lord.
Well, Tupac is cool. Don't come at Tupac. Libertarian Tupac here. Anyway, this shit is insane. It helps Donald Trump. But more importantly than any of that, it's just like, this is horrible. And my fear is that I think even some groups who may be wanted to control these riots or maybe use them for their own purposes, because there's always things like that when you have these type of movements, different people try to manipulate them for their own benefit. I think they've all probably lost control of it at this point. And I don't know what it's going to take. I believe the National Guard's coming into Philly now, which is, you know, not a great thing to see. But I don't know what it's going to take to stop this now. It's really been established all throughout the country that this is the response. This is the response to a police shooting that you think was unjustified. You riot. Oh, here we go. Let's watch this video.
Amalek. Amalek, what y'all doing down here? You live here? Y'all live here? Y'all know these, we the real Jews, right?
This ain't y'all fight. Y'all go.
Get the
fuck out! Get the fuck out of here!
Get the fuck out! Amalek about to get trash, cuz. Really waking up. Revelation
209. All right. Yeah, there you go. Revelation 209. It's supposed to go. Anyway, they did say we're the real Jews. I actually missed that.
They called them a Moloch.
Yeah, there you go. So I wonder where does the we must be anti-racist stuff come out here? Like, is that right? Like, no, this is the thing that's so infuriating about that whole stuff. It's like, oh, okay, so fine. Even if you're going to take that, like, you know, attitude. Okay. So how about here? Where's the big post condemning all of this racism? A much more blatant version of racism than anything else that you've, I mean, can you imagine, like really try to imagine if there was like one of the right wing protests when they were like, was in Michigan, they had some lockdown protests and stuff and armed protests. I mean, just imagine you had video of like, you know, some Trump supporters protesting the lockdowns and a few black people walked into it. And then they were just like, whoa, 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 what the fuck are you blacks doing here? No, 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 get the fuck out of here. Go back home. We don't need you here. I mean, it'd be national news. Everyone would be outraged, rightfully. We would condemn it. The LP would condemn, everybody would. But that's some pretty ugly shit.
The irony of this isn't your fight, while at the same time, the idea of Black Lives Matter is that everyone needs to come to support black people because they're being supposedly being marginalized.
What don't you understand about this movement, Rob? It's just that white silence is violence. Also, this isn't your fight. Also, get the fuck out of here. Also, right. Don't mansplain. Like, who the fuck knows? It's just naked identitarian racism. Like, what else can you call that? Is everyone knows it too. Is anyone, you know it. You know this when you see it. Yeah, it's fucking, it's wrong and it's ugly and it's really dangerous. So buckle up. Let's
also
go.
I gotta tell you, if they're religious individuals, so a Amalek is a group in the Bible that the Jews are supposed to commit genocide against because they're so evil, and over the course of history will always like rise up and try and eradicate the Jews. That's kind of the storyline. But in theory, if this guy's saying Jews are a Amalek, that would seem to suggest that the, and I don't know if this is true, but that would suggest that members of this black Jew, what do they call themselves? The black Israelites.
Mm-hmm.
If they're viewing Jews as a Amalek and they're really religious individuals, then they would be sworn to genocide against the Jews. So that might be something that news reports might want to look into.
Yeah. Oh, well, he said we're the real Jews. And yeah,
you so guys are a Amalek. And then right. Just to give the PC Jewish version of what they say, it's more of an idea. So it'd be like the Nazis would fall into that case. So it's like people that want to eradicate the Jews, it's more of a defensive position, take it or leave it.
Yeah, the Jewish lawyers worked that out.
Yeah, they worked
good.
That one out.
Well,
so as
when
to
we
why
say genocide, it was a defensive genocide.
But on that note, someone might want to look into if that's truly their belief, because then you've got calls for genocide out of the black Israelites.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. All right, look, we're going to wrap up the show there. Thank you guys very much for listening. We will be back on Friday. We'll keep you posted. Shit's about to get real. Peace.